Mark chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked him, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill him. Last night I was at a charity event, lots of charity events, as you know, in the city. Various firms have different charities which they support. And this was down at a place in southeast London near Deptford, and it was the most extraordinary place where people who were excluded from school or having difficulties from school could go, or came from really tough backgrounds, went and learnt sailing skills, navigation skills, teamwork, character improvement, all of that. It was the most amazing place. And what we did is someone sponsored the evening, buses from the city to get there, and it was a wine tasting. Someone said to me, "Oh, Jeremy, do you drink wine?" I said, "The occasional small glass of white," and they looked pretty impressed that I should even go that far. But anyway, it was a marvellous time, and we had the most impressive presentations from the founder of this particular organisation, people who've been equipped for life by the courses that they ran. It was altogether really impressive. And all the people who came from the city were astonishingly impressed by the quality of the team and the effectiveness of all that had been happening there over the past 30 years. And we were talking about it, full of energy about it, as we came back to the city in the middle of the evening. Just the change that they'd seen in people and heard about in others as a result of the work of this particular institution. And I couldn't help thinking, that is exactly what Christianity is all about. Taking people and allowing God to change them. Talking and meeting those who have not much in life and seeing the Holy Spirit transform their situation. Taking those who think they've got everything and helping them realize how much they need the Lord Jesus Christ. As I look around the bus I was on, we were on vintage buses because whichever company had sponsored the buses thought it'd be fun for us to go in 1939 buses. The suspension was not as good as it might have been had we had more modern coach, and there were parts of South London that needed improvement to the pothole system, which had obviously developed and which we felt. But I looked around at everyone who was on the bus. I thought, do you know, probably only a minority of people here, some I knew, some I'd seen in the street, only a minority of people here are Christians. And yet what really impresses you is something that changes people's lives. And Jesus Christ does that all the time to all kinds of people. Nothing we saw yesterday, extraordinary though it was, can match the character and effectiveness of Jesus. And as I read these verses, I thought, Lord Jesus, what can we learn from this encounter that can make us more effective as being agents of your change in the places where we work round here? And I was struck immediately by the courage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, we read how he went to the synagogue in spite of all the hassle that he'd been receiving and which we heard about last week because of what he'd been doing, healing people on the Sabbath. He could easily at that point, after all the controversy, have bailed out and kept his head down. He knew, as Mark tells us in verse 2, the people were out to get him. What he'd done had been great for the people who'd been blessed, but hadn't gone down well with the religious regulators of the day. And then in verse 3, we see him taking the initiative when he could easily have looked away, thought, I'll clock that man, I'll try and find him tomorrow and heal him. He called the man out before everyone. Might have been an attempt to win the sympathy of the crowd that day. The vocabulary in the original makes it plain this man hadn't been born with a paralyzed arm and hand. He'd had an accident or he'd been ill, and this was the permanent result. And in verse 4, we see the Lord Jesus' courage. Which is it lawful to do on the Sabbath? He asked the religious regulators, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill. He was saying to them, what do you think God really wants? To do good, which I'm intending to do by healing this man, or to kill, which is what you're intending to do to me, isn't it? There must have been quite a silence in the synagogue at that moment as he brought out into the light what they'd been plotting to do. And having put them on the spot, Jesus healed the man. But it wasn't just a spiritual transaction. It wasn't just to put the religious leaders in their place. We see with courage, Jesus also had compassion. We see that in verse 5. He looked around in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Interestingly, the anger that he felt, the vocabulary says, makes it clear, it's just a passing emotion. It was his distress at their stubborn hearts was a permanent emotion. He was devastated that they were missing out on what God had for them. Devastated that with all their learning, with all their reading, with all their teaching, they didn't understand what mattered to God at all. He wanted them to encounter his Father and not continue in this thinking they knew what God was like. He wanted them to see his Father's generosity and compassion and vision, his readiness to take risks, his costly commitment, all this reflected in Jesus and what he did with that man that day. Courage and compassion in the Lord Jesus Christ, a man able to transform people, whatever their situation. Where does it leave you and me, though? His followers in the square mile. Well, it leaves us firstly with a realism, a reminder that if we take Jesus seriously, we're immediately catapulted into a spiritual battle. There will be opposition. People will be unreasonable. And we need the courage of Jesus not to be cut off by that. We need his compassion too. So that we'll pray and we'll stick in with people. We'll want to see them differently. To my shame, I have to say, I so often give up because I just think, never going to get anywhere with that bloke. Perhaps there's someone else I can witness to or pray for. I make it too transactional. And don't have a compassion to make them different. And we need that confidence that the Holy Spirit really does turn lives round in the people we least expect. I need to expect more of Jesus in the people I meet round here. I need to be gasping at what Jesus is doing, just as everyone on that bus was gasping at what a sailing training base was doing, impressive though it was. People round here, I realized afresh last night, who have no faith, are still astonished when people's lives are changed. I was moved and astonished too. But Jesus Christ does it all the time, and he wants you and me to have the courage and the compassion to partner with him, and the realism not to be put off when things don't work out quickly as we want. You're probably better at it than I am, because you've been working in offices round here for ages. I just wander around being the vicar in a kind of hopeless sort of way. But I think Jesus is clear what he wants to do. I just need to get on board.